Open your Bibles, Joshua chapter 3. Here we go. Listen, let me tell you something. This comes on the heels of one of our biggest services we've ever had. Over 1,500 people in attendance. Last week, 188 people committed to ministry here at Fellowship of the Rockies. It was a huge weekend. It was a huge weekend of what God is doing. And so we're just going to move on, and we're going to keep moving. Joshua chapter 3 was a group of people much like us that were following God. God had been preparing this group of people for crossing the River Jordan for many years. Fact is, God has been preparing us for a moment in time like this. If you were not with us last weekend, let me just tell you some things that we discussed. We have a short-term issue, and we have a long-term issue. The short-term issue is this, that in many of our services, we're in overflow conditions. Last night, we were packed. We had people in overflow. This morning, we're full here. We'll be in overflow in our following service. So we got a short-term issue, and we got a long-term issue as well. Just real quickly, so we're all on the same page, the short-term solution is this. We are going to add a fourth service. That fourth service will be Sunday, 12:30, starting Super Bowl Sunday, February the 5th. Now listen, some of you have communicated with me and talked to some of our staff and says, wait a minute, we're worried Pastor Charlie's going to burn out in four services, and we're worried he's going to burn out and can't do this. And so let me just put you at ease. We've been thinking about this for quite some time. And so there's some things that we put in place, some things that you'll see a little bit different. And I know for some of you this may be a little emotional. It's just what we have to do. And so I am not going to be in all the services start to finish. I'm going to preach all the services. I'll be here. I'm going to rotate. So once a month I'll be in a service start to finish and just rotate around. And then from that point on, I will slip in towards the last song of worship and then preach. Because listen, let me tell you something. I stand through worship and through the sermon. And so me going through four services would be like you going through eight services. And so that's just the way that I'm going to save my voice, because the other option is to be in the service and stay seated and not sing. And then you got people looking over me at me saying, what's the matter? He doesn't love Jesus? I mean, he's the pastor. And he's supposed to sing. And so we don't want any of those issues. Well, and because of my principles about worship, I couldn't do that. And so we've thought through this. We're gonna delegate more stuff. We're going to get more things off my plate. And I know less and less what goes on here every week. And that's a good thing. And that's the way that you're supposed to lead to where the body leads. And so, fourth service, 12:30, February the 5th, just like when we kicked off the Saturday night service, we're going to ask some of you to make a commitment and go to that service. I am so excited. Our college students, because of the number of people that now come, they cannot sit together like they once did, and they're kind of frustrated with that. And so they've already made the 12:30 service their service. And so we've got them committed, and so our college kids will be with us. We'll feed them before that service at the Jubas House like we always do. The Jubas have anywhere from 50 to 70 college kids every week in their home. They feed them, they minister to them, they work with them. And then they will come here as a group. It's an unbelievable ministry that's going on right now at the campus. And so that's what we have going. And so Christmas Eve will be a little bit different. We talked about that, and we'll talk about that in the coming days. Let me give you some dates. December the 10th and 11th, Compassion Weekend. Do not miss it. And this is, we've reached an agreement with Compassion, the church-to-church connection, C2C. This is something brand new. We have adopted a church outside of Lima, Peru, a very poor, poor area. A lot of refugees are there. And here's what we're going to do. The director of Compassion will be down. He will present with me on that weekend. You're going to hear what God did in Lima, Peru when I was there. Unbelievable story. And Mark Palingra was with me, and so was Pastor Steve. When all of this took place, we're just going to talk about it. And then our goal is for you to sponsor about 150, 200 kids. And we will provide for them their meals, medical, education. Many of them go on and go to college, because that's the only way we're going to lift them out of poverty is educate them and then give them the gospel. And so you're going to be a part of that. And guess what? There will be opportunities that you could travel with us to Lima, Peru to meet your sponsored child. And so you'll be able to go and all this other stuff. Easter Sunday. We talked about this as we're going to be at the State Event Center. We've rented it out. And so we'll put all you guys together. We'll have one service. So our long-range solution is this. Short range, we're going to add a service. We understand that we can't do that forever. We just can't be a church that just continues to add services. But long-term solution is this, is we are looking to God to provide land or a building. We need to build a bigger facility, and I know you know that. That's not news to you. And so we're claiming Judges 11:24b that God has given our church. Many of you are praying that when God possesses the land, we will possess it. He will possess it before us. And so we are simply praying that God, whenever you're ready, you possess the land, and then we'll follow you in faith. And we'll possess the land when you're ready. And so that's the long-term solution. Isn't this where God's people are supposed to be? You see, I believe our job as pastors in a church is to try to mirror for you or set an example for you what it means to trust God in every area of your life, whether it's how to respond to difficult circumstances, whether it's how to trust Him, whether it's how to walk in faith. And so this is really where a church should be. Now listen, in Joshua chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 this morning. So you can turn in your iPads, your iPhones, your Droid, your Bible, your tablets, whatever you have. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, there's four principles. I preached one of them last weekend, and I'm going to quickly go through that one, and then we'll get everyone caught up, and then we'll hit the other ones. And so there's some principles in there of what it means to follow Him, what it means to truly walk with Him. You see, the children of Israel, they were much like us. They were on this path of following God. God for 40 years had been preparing them for this moment in time when they come to the River Jordan, to where they're going to have to make a decision to step out in faith. Now listen, I believe every individual, every person, every church comes to a point to where you have to decide, are you going to step across the Jordan River into the Promised Land? To where you're going to have to make a decision, because here's the deal. You cannot stay where you are and follow God, because God's always moving. See, there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of believers, and they say, I just want to be comfortable. I want to worry about my retirement and my profession and my hobbies and my career. I just want to be comfortable. Listen, there's a lot of contemporary Christians, and this is just free for you because we didn't talk about this last night, but there's a lot of contemporary Christians that say, you know what? I just don't experience the Holy Spirit the way they did in Acts. I read that, and I don't experience the Holy Spirit the way that they did in Acts. I don't get that. But one of the names for the Holy Spirit is this, the Comforter. You don't need a comforter if you're already comfortable. There's a lot of believers, they just want to be comfortable. They don't want to have to trust God. They don't want to have to step out in faith. They want to get to the point to where they just stay where they are, and they got this comfort about them. And listen, you will never experience God, or you'll never experience His presence until you learn what it means to just trust Him. And the children of Israel, they were there, and we're there. The first principle is this, is that it starts with a decision for you and I to make, to move to a better place. In other words, there's this point. Well, watch this, verse 1. Then Joshua was a leader. He rose up early. The picture of a spiritual leader is this. He's always out in front of the people, that he's leading, and he's willing to lead. He's always out in front of the people and early in the morning. And watch that. Watch this. And they set out. That word they is so important. See, they understood that church was not an event. Church was not an event like a football game, a basketball game, a sporting event, a concert, to where you go and you're just spectators and you walk away and that's it. Church was never designed to be an event. Church is this. Church is a community to belong to. Church is a community to get involved to. Church is a community to build relationships and to get involved and to serve alongside of one another. That's why it says, and they set out. Personally, every one of us has to come to the point in our life where we say, you know what? I'm just making a decision to move to a better place. I mean, 40 years, they'd been going in circles. 40 years, they'd been dealing with the same problems over and over and over in their life and thinking that you know what, they'll just have different results this time. And God wants you and I to know this personally. There has to come a time in your life that you say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of dealing with the same stuff over and over and over. I'm sick and tired of dealing with that same issue. I'm sick and tired of doing the same things, expecting different results, and it always turns out like this. I'm tired of this. It's a decision to move to a better place. Listen, it starts in the Christian life for you personally, us corporately, to say, you know what? I'm moving. I'm moving to a better place. It may not be like they weren't really in a bad place. They just weren't in the best place, because the best place is wherever God is. You cannot follow God and stay where you are. It starts. Man, it starts with a decision. Second one is this. You're not going to believe what you will see tomorrow if you follow God today. You just won't believe what God will do for you. If you'll just make a commitment to follow him today. Let's just keep reading. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. So that's a picture of the presence of God. Okay? We together? And your God being carried by the Levitical priest. It was this picture that when God is lifted up, because they would lift him up, the Levitical priest would carry the Ark of the Covenant, represented God, the presence of God. It was a picture that when God is lifted up, when God is glorified, you follow him. You follow, because you cannot stay where you are and follow God. It's all through these passages. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, God carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from where? Your place. Where you're comfortable. Where you call all the shots. Where you make all the decisions. See, there's a lot of us that want a relationship with God, but we want God on our terms. Really and truly, we want to be God. Really and truly, we want to call the shots. And what he's saying is, you got to come to a place to where you make a decision that you're willing to move from your position, your strength, your security, your place, your comfort, and you're willing to what? And he goes on and he says, you move from your place and what? And follow it. What is the it? The it is God in this passage. To where you make a decision. You know what? I'm moving from my position. I'm moving from my frame of reference. I understand I am not God. See, so many of us, we want God to follow us. All the way through this passage, all the way through the Old Testament, they always followed, the people always followed the Ark of the Covenant. It was a picture of following God. That's why a lot of people don't understand the will of God for their life. You know why? They're ahead. They want to get ahead of the Ark. God, you follow me. God, you bless whatever I decide. You bless whatever I do. God, I'll call all the shots in my life. And they wonder, and you wonder, why don't I sense the will of God? Why don't I know the will of God in my life? You know why? You're out in front. That's why the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant is just so interesting. It had three things in the Ark of the Covenant. It had a quarter cup of manna that was symbolic of the provisions of God. It had Aaron's rod, which was the... May have a Rick Perry moment here for a second. I'm sorry, that was probably unfair. It had Aaron's rod, which is symbolic of the power of God. And then it had a portion of the Ten Commandments was symbolic of the obedience of God. Now, a lot of believers, they want to take the Ark of the Covenant and says, I'll pull out the blessings of God, and I like that power of God. I'm not into the obedience part. See, God, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless my marriage. I want you to bless my relationships. I want you to bless my profession. I want you to bless my dreams. I want you to bless my life. Oh, God, and I want that power stuff. Boy, I love that power stuff. I love the power stuff where God answers your prayers and things happen that nobody can understand. And you know God's with you and all that. God, I love the provisions and I love the blessings of God and I love the power of God. But I'm not going to follow you. I don't like the obedient stuff. And God says you'll never have the power and the provisions the way you would if you don't follow me. The only reason the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River is because of obedience. This is a bigger miracle than Moses splitting the Red Sea. 2 million people had to walk across this river on dry ground during flood stage. Do you realize that means the water was dammed up 90 miles upstream? The only thing that allowed them to cross the Jordan River, the only thing that allows you and I to cross the Jordan River in our life is obedience. See, he goes on and he says, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, God, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you go shall go. So how do you know the will of God? You follow him. There's a secret right there. You learn to follow him. You learn not to get out in front of him. The reason that we have questions with that whole deal is because we expect him to follow us. We expect him to just bless our everything that we come up with. And why do we follow him? For you have not passed this way before. As a church, we're in new territory. Actually, as this church goes, we've always been in new territory. It's kind of who we are. Why do you follow God? Because personally, you enter into new territory in your life, right? New seasons of life, new situations in relationships, different dynamics in life. Never been that way before. Why do you follow God? Why do you take the obedience out of the box? It's because you've never been that way before. And you trust me. Obedience, what the word says, brings power and provisions. Power and provisions never brings obedience. I could prove that out so easy in our society. I'm talking about successful people, sports stars, movie stars, CEO, whoever. Power, provisions never really brings obedience. You know what? But obedience brings power and provisions and blessing. This group of people, 40 years. So many of us, we live in an instant society of instant gratification, and God, if God doesn't do it tomorrow, we'll bail. Not this group of people. See, we respect commitment in every area other than the spiritual life. We expect commitment and long-term goals, whether it's in sports, whether it's in investing, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in business. But when it comes to God and spiritual things, we expect it now. It is possible to live for a while without obedience. But I'm telling you, you will crash and burn. And that's from personal experience. Man, my life was a wreck because I didn't understand. It's obedience that brings power and brings provisions. I mean, when Karen and I started out following God together in marriage, we never dreamed that we'd be in Pueblo, Colorado, pastoring a church. Expanding services. Can I tell you this? If you will be obedient to him, there will be the day that you say, I never dreamed this. I never dreamed God would do this in my relationships and in my situations and in my career. Man, I'm telling you, there is a better place to live. Believers and Christians have to quit settling for second best. See, the problem is you can be in the wilderness so long like the children of Israel, you develop survival skills. And it may be bad and it may be painful and it may be difficult, but you know what? You say, I can suck it up. I can gut through it. I got some survival skills. But let me tell you, that is no place to live. And they stepped out of the wilderness, and guess what? God wants us corporately and individually to be able just to step out of the wilderness. The third principle is this. Don't expect God to do for you what you can do for yourself. I mean, there is your part and God's part, and we've got to understand this morning. Verse 5, look at this. And so Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. Now listen, that's an Old Testament term that may be kind of weird to us, or we may not understand what that term means. But consecrate yourself was consecrate. The consecrate word would mean like sanctify, purify, develop spiritual disciplines, set apart is really what that word meant in the Old Testament. In other words, that as New Testament believers, we should have some distinctives. If we're really a follower of Christ, our life should not look like everybody else's life. There are so many Christians that claim to be Christians and do not have those distinctives, and they hurt the cause of Christ. It means to develop spiritual disciplines, to be set apart, to have some distinctives, to where the way that you handle your life and the way that you make decisions, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. See, there's a lot of people that say, well, wait a minute. God, I want you to do that for me. If you didn't want me to date that girl, why was she at the bar? Why did I run into him again? If you didn't want me to hang out with those friends, why do they keep calling? God, it had to be you. It had to be you. She kept showing up. He kept showing up. Stop it. You know what God says? You stop it. You consecrate yourself. Obedience brings power and provisions. See, the problem is, you know what happens in contemporary Christianity? We want to consecrate everybody else. Right? Right? We want to, like, consecrate our wife, hey, make her better, and all this other stuff, or whatever's wrong with our husband, whatever's wrong with our kids. And so we want to consecrate everybody else, right? That's what happens in the body that is so divisive when Christians begin judging one another. Why? Because they're trying to consecrate one another, and they're telling each other and they're judging each other what's wrong with you in your life. And the Bible says, Joshua said what? Not consecrate the 2 million people, not consecrate everybody else. He said what? Consecrate yourself. Don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. Worry about the log in yours. Don't worry about what's wrong with everybody else. You worry about yourself. Obedience brings power and provisions. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings peace. Obedience brings security. You will never know security and peace apart from obedience and following Him. When you have that, and difficult times come, you can sleep at night, you can stand strong, because your confidence is not in the circumstance, the situation, the economy, the relationships around you. It's in Him and Him alone. And He never changes. And so that's why Joshua told them, purify yourselves. Develop some spiritual disciplines in your life. God's not going to do that for you. You've got to make that decision. Learn to life journal. Learn to read Scripture and apply it to your life. We'll help you. We've got tons of life journals out there in the Welcome Center, and we'll help you with that. But learn to open up His Word and just read it and apply it to your life. Learn some spiritual disciplines in your life. Listen, now, it's so simple. Whatever you want God to bless in your life, just be obedient in that area. Just obedience. And that was His people group. The fourth one and the last one is this. God reserves His blessings tomorrow for those who prepare today. God reserves blessings for those who are willing to prepare today. That's why He says, consecrate yourselves, watch this, for tomorrow, this is so cool, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now they've been waiting for 40 years. They're waiting for the grumblers and the complainers and everything to die out and a lot of stuff there. But Joshua said, you prepare today. You purify yourself today. You walk in obedience to me today. Why? Because tomorrow, God's going to blow you away. God's going to do wonders. See, God's people never follow signs and wonders. That's emotionalism. But signs and wonders should always follow God's people. To where a community takes notice that God is doing something in that place. And God is doing something different there. You see, Joshua and the children of Israel had to make the decision to cross the river Jordan, and the king of Jericho was in the land. And the king of Jericho was a fierce adversary, and he was violent, and he was vile, and he was strong. And he didn't give up ground easily. And I told you last week that you ever wondered why there were giants, adversaries in the promised land? Why there's adversaries and giants in your promised land? And that's God's insurance policy to ensure that only people of faith will inherit the promised land. Only people that are obedient, only people that are faithful, only people that trust Him. And the king of Jericho did not give up ground willingly. There was a battle all the way through the book of Joshua. And guess what? Our adversary today, Satan, does not give up ground easily in Pueblo, Colorado. Man, whenever the church starts advancing, whenever the church takes new ground, opposition always comes. Whenever you personally take new ground in your life, opposition will always come, whether it's from friends, whether it's from family, whether it's from coworkers. Listen, Satan does not give up ground easily. I tell our staff, I tell our church all the time, church growth is not for sissies. And there's only one thing that keeps you and I from taking His word, reading it, and applying it to our life and calling it good. Courage. It takes courage just to read His word. It takes courage just to be willing to apply it to your life, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the complaints, regardless of the things your friends say or your family says, that you're just willing to follow Him. But the scripture says that God takes and reserves His greatest blessings, the promised land. In other words, we don't have to settle for second best. And it starts with obedience. See, preparation is always in advance. The level at which a football team prepares has everything to do with how they play on Sunday, Monday night, or Thursday. Everything. Christian life is no different. The way we prepare, the way I, as your pastor, pull away from all the distractions and all of the urgent stuff that goes on every day and spends time with Him has everything to do with what happens when I'm in front of you and on this platform. I'm telling you, God has been preparing this church for years for this moment in time. They were learning how to steward the presence of God. Same as us in Pueblo, Colorado. I have never been more excited about the days ahead. And I believe, and I know I'm biased, this is the greatest church I've ever been a part of because of you. These are some of the greatest people. And I'm honored to be here. Karen's honored to be here. And we have invested our life here. And so we just look forward. And so we're on a journey together. We've got a short-term solution and we've got a long-term solution. God's going to take care of both. But let me ask you this morning, how about you personally? But you personally. You trying to get blessing and power without obedience? Maybe this morning you just need to accept Him and you need to ask Him to come into your life and start a relationship with Him. Regardless of the reasons why you came here this morning, we believe God is sovereign and you are here by design. Because God loves you and He wants to reach out to you. And don't miss this opportunity. Some of you, you may need to accept Him and ask Him to come into your life. There are others of you that, you know what? we need you. We need you just like we needed the 188 people that committed to serve in ministry last week. Boy, we need some more decisions. And maybe your commitment this morning is you know what? We're going to find a place to serve here, because church is not a community. It's not an event, but it's a community to belong to. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes?